Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Wednesday, June 24th, 2020. I'm Chance Miller. WatchOS 7 adds a variety of new features for Apple Watch, including sleep tracking and new workout types. But we've also now learned that it drops support for one key feature. With WatchOS 7, Apple has deprecated support for the Force Touch functionality and is instead recommending developers look at other solutions. Force Touch allowed Apple Watch users to firmly press on the device's display to access additional content and menus. Given the Apple Watch's smaller display, Force Touch was very useful for developers to add quick access to additional content. But in the new version of the Apple Human Interface Guidelines, the company is telling developers to relocate items previously accessed by Force Touch in new menus. For example, you used to be able to access the ability to clear all notifications on Apple Watch by firmly pressing on the display and choosing Clear All. But now Apple has moved the Clear All button to the top of the notification interface, so you have to scroll all the way up and tap on the Clear All button in WatchOS 7. If this sounds familiar, it's because Apple made a similar change in the iPhone lineup by dropping support for 3D Touch. This change started with the iPhone XR and eventually made its way to the iPhone 11 lineup as well. Apple has replicated much but not all of the 3D Touch functionality through something called Haptic Touch on the iPhone, which is a long press rather than a firm press. Force Touch is a hardware feature on the Apple Watch that has been available on every model, including the latest Series 5. But presumably this means the Apple Watch Series 6 will lack support for the capability when it's released in the fall. It's interesting but unsurprising that Apple has dropped support for Force Touch across the board in the meantime. This is a way for Apple to force developers to make the necessary changes before the Apple Watch Series 6 is released, and it ensures uniformity across all Apple Watch models in every application. In other news, the iPhone 11 Pro comes with an 18-watt USB-C power adapter, but the cheaper iPhone 11 still only comes with the measly 5-watt charger. For at least some models of the iPhone 12, it now appears that Apple is upgrading the power adapter to a new 20-watt USB-C adapter, according to a new leak on Twitter. Rumors have indicated that there are going to be four models of the iPhone 12, a new 5.4-inch screen size, two 6.1-inch models, and a high-end 6.7-inch. We believe that one of the 6.1-inch phones and the 6.7-inch phones will feature the triple-lens camera as well as a new LiDAR scanner system, so these two are probably the new Pro models. It is unclear if the 20-watt power adapter will once again be a Pro exclusive, or if Apple will add fast-charging power adapters to the full iPhone lineup this year. The iPhone 11 Pro was the first time that Apple shipped higher wattage chargers with power delivery, including a Lightning to USB-C cable. Other iPhone models are capable of fast charging, but you have to buy the necessary accessories after the initial purchase. On a related note, Apple is not expected to include EarPods in the iPhone 12 box for the first time this year, so the inclusion of fast charging accessories with every iPhone would be a nice way to make up for that. We are sponsored this week by CleanMyMacX, an all-in-one utility that takes care of your Mac's health. It's a macOS cleaner, a performance monitor, and a malware remover, and occasionally a lifesaver. CleanMyMacX speeds up your Mac by freeing up RAM, running routine maintenance scripts, and maximizing performance. It's a great helper when it comes to managing apps on your Mac, and it removes unnecessary apps with their leftover data, and it also helps keep the apps you do need up to date. You can get CleanMyMacX on the Mac App Store and on the MacPaw website. Go to macpaw.com/9to5 to get CleanMyMacX with a 30% discount. We are also sponsored by Mac Stadium, provider of cloud solutions built on Apple Mac hardware. As more teams are working from home, having your Mac build infrastructure in the cloud can make it easy for app development to continue uninterrupted. There's no need to have someone in the office keeping an eye on the Macs. Let Mac Stadium do it for you. Whether you need a single Mac Mini or a fully scalable Mac private cloud, Mac Stadium can help you move your iOS and Mac app development out from under your desk and into the cloud. Learn more at macstadium.com/9to5Mac, where you can also get half off your first 6 months of a Mac Mini subscription with promo code WWDC2020. During its WWDC keynote on Monday, Apple officially outlined the roadmap for its transition from Intel processors in the Mac to Apple Silicon chips. This roadmap includes a new developer transition kit hardware program, and now the first developers are being accepted. Apple is calling this the Universal App Quick Start Program, through which developers can receive a Mac Mini powered by Apple's A12Z processor, with 16GB of RAM and 512GB of SSD storage. The program costs $500 and developers are required to return the Mac Mini hardware at the end. But when a developer is accepted into the Quick Start program, they have to agree to a stringent confidentiality agreement. In this document, Apple specifies that developers are not permitted to publicly write about or review the developer transition kit, including the Mac Mini with the Apple Silicon processor. In actuality, this agreement is very similar to the standard developer agreement, which technically outlines that you aren't allowed to publicly talk about things like new iOS betas. But of course, as we all know, Apple doesn't really enforce this guidance, with nearly everyone publicly talking about iOS betas as they are released. Whether or not Apple stringently enforces the confidentiality agreement for the Quick Start program remains to be seen. Nonetheless, it is inevitable that somehow a Mac Mini with the A12Z processor will end up in the hands of someone willing to share, at which point we'll have all of the details. Rounding out today, much of macOS 11 Big Sur is focused on preparing the Mac for the future, but there are two changes that are reminiscent of days gone by. With macOS Big Sur, Apple has added back the Mac's startup chime as well as battery life time remaining estimates. With the introduction of the 2016 MacBook Pro, Apple dropped the iconic Mac startup chime while booting up. This was a small change at the time, but one that marked the end of a long-running tradition. But with macOS 11 Big Sur, the startup chime is back in all of its glory. To find the new setting, open the System Preferences app, then navigate to the Sound Preferences pane. From there, choose Sound Effects and you'll see a new checkbox to play sound on startup. It seems to be enabled by default, but you can uncheck the box if you so desire. Meanwhile, the battery life time remaining estimate feature is also making a comeback. Again, dating back to the introduction of the 2016 MacBook Pro, Apple removed the time remaining battery life estimates. This decision came after a growing number of complaints about the battery life performance of the newest MacBook Pro models. At the time, Apple explained that macOS was not properly providing accurate time remaining predictions due to the processors used in the 2016 MacBook Pro, so it simply removed the feature altogether. But with macOS 11 Big Sur, Apple seems to have figured out how to accurately display time remaining battery life estimates once again. From the menu bar, you can now click on the battery icon and see an estimate of how long your MacBook has left on its current charge. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. As always, you can read all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com, follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and be sure to come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.